This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back, folks. Jeff Palermo, WWL.com, an LSU columnist, joins us for a legislative session recap. Jeff, you can rest easy. They're gone.
How you doing today, Noel? Yeah, they are gone. It's it was an interesting session, but I would say a productive one. I've been covering legislative sessions since 2001, and this might be one of the more this session might have seen some of the more impactful legislation approved in a session than I can ever recall. A lot to discuss as far as what lawmakers were able to do.
So kind of a race to the end in the last 2 to 3 days, which is typical, but there was a little controversy there towards the end on a number of bills. Tell us about them.
Well, there were a couple bills. I think the two most significant bills that got out in the last hour, one has to do with transportation funding. Lawmakers have been looking at ways to try to increase the amount of state dollars that go towards roads and bridges. We've heard, and many of your listeners have heard, about the $14 to $15 billion transportation backlog that the state really has not been able to chip at because it has not allocated any extra additional dollars as far as the state goes. So, I mean, there's been the talk of a gasoline tax that just can't get it, or increasing the gasoline tax that just can't get enough traction. They were looking at potentially making the 0.45% of the sales tax that's set to expire in 2025, making that permanent and then having that money go towards roads. But there were a lot of lawmakers that did not want to make that sales tax, that temporary sales tax, permanent, because when they made it temporary, they told residents, hey, this would be just a temporary tax to get us out of a budget crisis, and then that tax will go away. So they didn't want to go back on that word. So something that they came up with really in the final days of the legislative session was to take revenue from vehicle sales taxes, and which currently go to the general fund, and shift that money away from the general fund in a couple of years and start putting it towards roads. It received overwhelming support by the legislature in the final hour when they finally got a chance to pass it. But the governor has his concerns, because if you start taking money away from the general fund, that means less dollars for higher education, less dollars for health care, and other areas of the budget that money comes from out of the general fund to pay for. But then there are lawmakers that say, hey, we've just made the biggest investment in higher education in the last 8 years. We've been putting billions of dollars towards health care, but we're not putting any additional money towards building new roads and bridges that are critically needed in this state. So it's a very interesting argument. Governor Edwards now will have, I believe, 20 days, I think, is the number, to really look at this bill and decide whether he wants to veto it or not. So that'll be interesting to watch. And then the other one, Newell, that I think he will sign is ending the enhanced federal unemployment benefits by July 31st, and in exchange, they would raise the amount that the state gives to unemployed residents. At this point, right now, Louisiana, if you're on unemployment in Louisiana, the weekly money that you get from the state is one of the lowest dollar figures in the country. So they'll raise that up a little bit in exchange for getting rid of this $300 federal enhanced unemployment benefit that many businesses say are keeping people from going back to work.
Yeah, there's been so many reports. I know, Jeff, you've talked about it as well. I think it's been reported in the greater New Orleans area, as many as 50,000 jobs available for folks. Obviously, mostly in the hospitality industry. But nonetheless, as we kind of jump out of this with the reopening of the, you know, in the aftermath of this, well, not the aftermath, but hopefully the light at the end of the tunnel of the pandemic, it's critically important that we pivot now and we try to jumpstart this economy.
Yeah, and that's what, we've done numerous stories on it too here at the Louisiana Radio Network, Noel. And it's just from what we've heard from NFIB, from Lobby, and yesterday, Chad Brown, who's a Democrat, a lot of Democrats opposed this legislation that was passed yesterday. But Chad Brown, who's from Plaquemine, a Democrat, spoke in favor of the bill on the House floor, saying that, hey, I'm hearing from a lot of businesses. They're having trouble getting workers. And, again, they're putting the blame on this $300 unemployment benefit that people are getting. So looks like that will be coming to an end. The governor kind of talked about how sometimes you need to compromise on things to get things accomplished. And one of the things that the governor wanted to see was to increase the amount of money the state gives to unemployed workers. Again, it would only raise it by about $28 a week. Currently, the maximum that an unemployed worker gets from the state is $247 a week. And again, that's one of the lowest dollar figures in the country. So they'll raise that and then potentially here in less than a couple months get rid of the $300 that extra that unemployed individuals are getting currently from the federal government.
Jeff, I know a lot of people were saying that tax reform was going to be the highlight of the legislative session. For me, early childhood development has always been key, I think, to the success of the education of our kids across the socioeconomic spectrum. I was encouraged to see the broad support behind mandatory kindergarten.
It was interesting to see that bill get as much discussion as it did, because I think a lot of people, first of all, went into it, Newell, thinking, well, isn't kindergarten already mandatory? Well,
yeah.
Apparently it's not.
Yeah.
And then there were certain, you know, the Louisiana Family Forum was in opposition to it. A lot of conservative lawmakers who believe in parental rights, they were against it. So there was, I think, more discussion to this bill than I thought going into the session. And then a lot of the discussion also got around to what's the date, what's the appropriate date. And I think they finally settled in on September 30th, I think, is the if you turn five before September 30th of that school year, you have to go to kindergarten. So they settled on that date. Though, when you talk about early childhood education, the governor mentioned this yesterday in his press conference to wrap up the session. There really isn't any more extra funding going towards early childhood education. Now, some of the sports gambling money would go to about $10 million would go to the Louisiana Early Childhood Education Fund based on the money that they make off of that, but there really wasn't any other, with all the money that the state has right now at its disposal, in thanks to the federal coronavirus aid and the economy picking up, there really wasn't an effort to put more money towards early childhood education. There was an effort to put more money towards higher ed, faculty or professors got pay raise, teachers and school support workers in K-12, they got pay raises. Schools got more money for GO grants, TOPS is fully funded and all that, but there really wasn't, they didn't put any extra dollars, meaningful dollars, towards early childhood education in this session.
What would you think would be the most controversial veto that we could expect out of the governor?
Well, I think the two that are off the top of my head is the transgender athletes bill. That's the one that would prevent transgender athletes from participating in women's sports. I would imagine he vetoes that. And then the other one is the concealed carry bill. I think he'll veto that one as well. And that one would be where you're not allowed, or you're allowed to conceal carry in Louisiana over the age of 21 without having to get a permit or any kind of instruction. I think that was the big part for we know that the governor has been a Second Amendment supporter throughout his time in office, but he really felt it was important that gun owners had to take a training safety class, and that's what you'd have to do to get your concealed carry permit. So if you get rid of the concealed carry permit, that means you don't have to go through that training class or that safety class, and therefore the concern is that you're going to have a lot of gun owners who are going to go out and buy a gun and not get the type of training that they should, or learn about some of the different aspects of the gun to make sure they can safely handle it. So that's the concern from the governor. So I would think he's going to veto those two bills, and that'll be interesting because both of those bills, overwhelming support, both of those bills were passed where you can override a veto. It'll be interesting to see if lawmakers will actually want to call themselves in to try to override the veto. That's something that has not happened during modern times, but it could happen with those two bills. I think that's something to certainly watch as the month goes on.
Yeah, so I think you're right. I think your assessment of it is spot on. It'll be interesting to see. I have Kirk Talbot coming on in the second half of this hour, and I'm going to be interested to hear from him whether or not that appetite is there. I think it probably is.
I think so, too. I certainly do. This has been, as what we've seen in the 6 years now that John Bel Edwards has been the governor, more of an independence, more of a separation between what the legislature is doing and the beliefs and their ideals and their goals of trying to move the state forward, clashing with what the governor wants to do. Now, in this session, things went a lot smoother because there was a lot of money to be tossed around, right?
Right.
A lot of the bickering we saw, especially in the governor's first term, was because there wasn't a lot of money. In fact, there were huge deficits. And so there was a big clash between Republican lawmakers and the governor exactly on how to spend this money. Well, since there was plenty of money to go around, that type of argument didn't occur, and we didn't really see this big divide or the divisiveness between the governor and the state legislature. But on those two issues, the transgender athletes bill and the concealed carry bill, there is certainly two different ways of thinking as far as those bills are, as far as those two issues go. And that might get played out with an override veto session.
Yeah. Well, as always, Jeff Palermo, it is always a pleasure to have you on. Truly appreciate your time, your insight. Thank you so much, my friend. Grab a beer, sit back. I know where you're going to be at 6 o'clock tomorrow night.
Yeah, looking forward to the Super Regional Series. It's great that LSU baseball is still playing. We'll see if they can pull it off, Neil.
That last weekend was a heck of a lot of fun, I got to tell you. I have no fingernails left, but it was a lot of fun nonetheless.
I got you. A lot of late-night drama. I'm looking forward to games actually being played when the sun is out, so that'll be a lot of fun.
That's true, my friend. That's true. Thank you so much, Jeff. We really appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
All right, Neil. Thanks.
Jeff Palermo, WWL.com, and LSU columnist. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us. We are back, and we've been talking about legislative session recap, and joining us on the line is State Senator Kirk Talbot. Kirk, welcome to the show.
Hey, Noel. How you doing?
Thank you so much for joining us the day after y'all wrap it up. I know it was a sprint to the finish line over the last several days.
It was. It was. But, you know, all in all, it was a pretty productive session. You know, we had a lot of good things with this tax package that passed. Some things didn't make it all the way, but all in all, I think it was very productive.
So let's talk about the tax reform first, because I know a lot of folks said that was the being that this was a fiscal session, that that was going to be one of the most important issues that we take up. I understand we were able to get the personal income tax issue all the way through. Is that correct?
That's correct. So individuals, the individual tax brackets for the 6% will drop down to 4% on net income above $50,000. The 4% rate is going to drop to 3.5% on net income between $12,500 and $50,000, and the 2% rate will drop to 1.85% for net income on the first $12,500 of income. The other bill that passed is swapping that out for the itemized federal deductions. On the corporate side, the high bracket of 8% is going to go down to 7.5% for income above $150,000, and to the and lower at those rates. So, all in all, I think it was good. I mean, it definitely puts us more in line with the rest of the country, makes it more simplified, and makes it, just an easier structure that is not as convoluted as it was in the past.
Now, relative to those reforms, none of that, and a lot of people have been asking because I think they get confused, none of that has to be voted on, correct, by the public?
No, the voters will the voters need to pass the amendment on the individual income tax. Yeah, so that will go to the people.
Oh, it will. Okay.
That will go on the ballot in the fall.
Okay. All right. So I was confused. All right. Yes. I got it. Okay. So let's talk about sales tax. That made it through as well, right?
It did. So we'll have a centralized sales tax system. I know you're very familiar with that. That's where, if I have a business in 17 different parishes, I got to pay my state sales tax or my local sales tax on 17 different websites. So that will all now be centralized. And I believe we're only one of two states that has, currently a non-centralized sales tax system. So that was a big deal. I know, you know a lot about that, and that's something, I've heard about centralized sales tax for over a decade, and I think it's finally here, and I think that's a good thing.
That has to be voted on by the public, correct?
I don't think that one does. I think that one is just, I shouldn't know that, but I think that one is.
I think it's going to require a constitutional amendment on.
Yeah,
on,
you're right. It does.
On that issue.
And,
yeah.
And, our big thing from Jefferson Parish was just making sure that our parish gets what we deserve, right? We put in a lot of money in sales tax, and we just want to make sure that we're not going to get shortchanged. And, the amendments that were done to it, the changes that were done to it, we worked with Sheriff LaPinto. And we all felt comfortable that's going to happen. But that was our biggest problem. I want to make sure Jefferson Parish gets our fair share of that tax revenue.
Right. Right at the end of the session, we talked about this federal unemployment benefit retiring at the end of July, I believe July 31st. That actually has passed, gone to the governor. Indications are the governor is going to sign it.
I believe so. So what that means is, right now it expires in September. So if the governor comes out and says, we're going to end that $300 a week July 1st, you get a 30-day warning period, let's say. So it really does go till July 31st. And we'll increase the weekly benefit on the state level next year at $28 more a week. I believe it's at $247 now. And we're one of the lowest in the country. It needed to be raised. But I can tell you from a small business owner's perspective, we are desperate for workers. And all of the people I know that run businesses, we're all just, want to get this economy going again, want to increase sales, but we cannot find employees to fill. We all have jobs to fill.
Yeah, I know a lot of business owners. I've not talked to a single one that said they're flush with staff. And this is some of the most forward-leaning organizations throughout, this community, and they just can't get anybody.
No, that's right. You go to a restaurant, and there's a long wait. Maybe it takes a while for the waiter to get there. It's simply because they just don't have enough staff.
No, absolutely. So let's talk about two of the more controversial issues. I was just talking to Jeff Palermo about it. Concealed carry in the transgender bill, the governor has indicated that he is going to veto both. Is there a climate for an override?
I think there's certainly some talk about it. You know, we automatically go into a veto session unless we send a ballot back saying we don't want it. So I will not be signing my ballot. You know, if he vetoes those bills, you know, I think we should go into a veto session. But there is more talk about it than I've heard in the past about going into a veto session. So although it's unlikely, I mean, the only time a bill, I believe, only two bills have ever been had a veto override, and that was a tax bill and then the abortion bill that Buddy Romer passed. It is extremely rare, but you know, these bills have stirred a lot of passion.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think the public realizes how few times the state legislature has actually gone into a veto session,
and very rare. And I think more.
Go ahead.
And I was going to say, I think more on the transgender bill, too. I mean, that has stirred a lot of passion. I sit on the committee that bill went through, and a lot of passionate testimony. And, you know, you see a lot of that. You can't pick up the paper without reading something about that in regards to athletics. And I think that probably has more of a shot than anything.
Kurt, other than obviously the top line issues, what would you say were some of the more important issues that you saw make it through the legislative process?
Well, you see the sports betting, you know, that was a huge issue, very complicated. You know, that was passed overwhelmingly by, I don't know, like 58 something parishes or 54 parishes last fall on the constitutional ballot. So, you know, that was a bill that, you know, we thought would dominate the session, like gambling bills have in the past, but it really didn't. You know, they really did a lot of good work. They got out in front of it. And the good thing about that bill is, as opposed to sports betting, say in Mississippi, where it's only concentrated in the riverboats there, you know, we have an opportunity for a lot of locals, you know, to be able to participate in that new line of business, you know, with sports betting. So, but it didn't really garner a lot of the controversy that we thought it would. It just kind of went through the process, you know, got amended here and there, but they did a lot of work on the front end. So that's one thing. You know, the money with transferring $300 million in vehicle sales to fund highways and bridges, that's a huge deal. You know, that's something that, you know, we've had gas taxes proposed that never went anywhere. So that's something that got through. You know, the casino in Slidell garnered a lot of attention. Had a few dust ups over that got passed. You know, decriminalizing possession of small amounts of marijuana, that passed. You know, there were a lot of significant things that were very controversial that did not pass. The banning of the non-compete contracts for doctors, legalizing recreational marijuana, expanding the Supreme Court is a big significant change in our judicial system. Those all failed. We did raise teacher pay. We did raise $400 for support workers, $800 for teachers. You know, they had a big river pilots bill that made it through the House but died. Something that also died, Newell, was extending the movie making tax break from 2025 to 2028. You know, that bill passed the Senate and got crushed in the House, on the House floor. Another bill that died, closing party primaries. You know, we did pass a bill yesterday on elections, going back to paper ballots, you know, making it, you know, keeping our integrity in our election system. So a lot of big issues. Some made it, some didn't.
Why is that such an important issue, the paper ballot issue? I'm at a loss for why that's so important.
You know, I think we have a very good election system right now. What I'm told is the voting machines we have are antiquated. It's impossible to get replacement parts. You know, what a lot of people were worried about was connecting these voting machines to the internet where they could possibly be compromised. You know, Sharon Hewitt, the chairman of Senate Governmental, had that bill. And, you know, I think it was more of, you know, we know we've done things in the past that worked, that weren't compromised. And I think they felt that was where the comfort level was. But obviously that's a huge issue in this country and a big issue here.
So we're actually going to go from a machine now. We're going to vote on a piece of paper, and we're going to take that paper and go bring it to a scanner and scan it?
It's something along those lines. I don't know if that's been all completely worked out, but something along those lines. But, you know, we feel, and again, Senator Hewitt felt that that was a way to keep the integrity and keep the, you know, our election system from being compromised.
Yeah, I got to see how that I don't know how that's going forward.
We'll see.
I mean, I don't know that I would be in favor of connecting to the internet either. I get the frailties of that. I mean, obviously some of the most forward-leaning technological companies in the world have not been able to protect themselves from the internet, right? So I can understand
that
security concern, right? I think that is legitimate. But I don't think we were connected to the internet, and I never had that desire to do so. But all right, well, thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate the update, Kurt. I guess you'll be watching that LSU game tomorrow evening as well, like the rest of us, and some well-deserved rest after this session. Is there talk about going into a special session to deal with some of this American Rescue Plan money?
I don't think so. I haven't heard a lot of talk about that. We will have, I believe, a special session in February to do redistricting. You know, we're still waiting on getting all those numbers. There was talk of maybe the special session in the fall to do redistricting. From what I understand, that will be in February. Haven't heard a whole lot about going into a special session about the American Rescue Plan.
All righty. Well, thank you so much. Appreciate your time, man. Take care. Have a great weekend.
Anytime, Bill. Thank you.
Senator Kirk Talbot from Jefferson Parish. We'll be right back, folks. 504-260-1870. It's No Filter Friday. Want to hear from you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.